you mentioned the mouse with Miley, mm-hmm. and I know that you worked for the mouse.
I did. I did work Keywords. For the mouse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. We are riding up the river today. We have a very exciting episode for you. But in the front of the canoe with the biggest oar that I know, we have Cosmo from The Cosmo Show.
Hi, everybody. What up there?
You know, I don't know why I said you have the biggest oar, but I imagine, like, if we were going on a canoe adventure, I feel like I would put you in front. Because isn't that where you steer?
No, you steer from the back.
Oh.
Yeah, the back.
Well, this goes to maybe we need to go canoeing. I think that's what we need to do.
That would be an episode.
Maybe we'll do the podcast in a canoe so I can actually learn more about canoeing. Speaking of canoeing, you know the song like Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
Yeah.
It's a song. People mm-hmm. sing it.
Gently down the stream.
Yeah. Do you sing? Do you like to sing?
No, I absolutely hate singing. I can't sing worth anything. I do. I used to sing a long time ago in a band. And then I do karaoke. So.
Hey, there you
go. KJ, and I love singing. I don't know any other KJs that don't sing, but
it was a KJ that doesn't sing.
Right, but it's fun. Mute. I do just Frank Sinatra and Elvis. Like,
they're just happy to be here.
Yeah, right. Well, this is going to be a treat for both of us since we're both singers. And we have a very fun special guest with us. Her name is Carly Bracco. She's a singer, songwriter, voice trainer, actor, and of course, a mama mess. So welcome to the Delulu Canoe.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you here. Ever since I started this like podcast canoeing episodic, I can't say the word now. I wanted to have you on because you have such a vibrant personality and we get along so well and we have so much in common.
Very much, very much. There's so much, like, from, like, oh my God, my brain just stopped.
That was me in the beginning of this episode. It's fine.
Like, my brain just turned into the KJ. It's the neurodivergence in me. I get really excited.
We'll get into that. We'll definitely talk about neurodivergency as well because I'm so curious about that. But we actually met from a mutual friend who is a phenomenal singer. Actually, two people we know that are mutual friends. Phenomenal singers have like day shows where they sing constantly. Very talented. And I want to say one of them just heard me sing once was like, girl, if you want lessons, you got to meet Carly. And I was like, okay, like, girl, I'm looking for a voice lesson teacher. Like, I've been looking for years. Since I moved
Seriously?
Out here. Yeah. It's really hard to find somebody who, it's like a therapist in a way.
I was going
to
say that.
You do have to try people on, like, because everyone's styles are different. Everyone's techniques are different. Mm-hmm. I mean, always you want to sing healthily, but like you want to vibe with somebody.
Oh, for sure.
And it is a little bit therapeutic in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really vulnerable experience. So you can't just like do it with anybody, I feel like. That we have a really big responsibility because it's such a vulnerable experience that if you're not careful, you could really, really hurt somebody's spirit. If you, mm-hmm. like, even if you mean well. So it's important to find the right person.
Yeah, I even remember, like, today, because I was thinking about, like, what I wanted to, like, chit-chat with you about. And I remember the first day I was, like, sitting in your, like, little room, and I was, like, in this chair, like, all uncomfortable, because I'm like, I haven't sang for anybody else in a long time. And you pulled out this poster, and she was like, what did you say? It's something about, like, oh, this visual might be a little jarring, so be warned. And it's, like, a picture of, like, your tonsils and all this, like, internal organs.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's – okay, so I pull out this huge poster of, like – your larynx and like how your voice works, and it's very scientific, it's very biologically correct, and if you've never seen it before, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
It's so jarring. Have you seen the inside of people? It's jarring.
Oh, like people come and like, I want to sing, and I'm like, here's your throat. Like,
just poster on the ground,
like, well, here we go. I just care deeply for like vocal health as well,
which is great.
And because I was a gymnast way mm-hmm. back in the day, like I come at teaching voice from such a like muscle memory background. And if you understand your muscles and how it works, then you can better understand how to like recreate sound in a way that works for your own body.
Yeah.
And so kind of understanding just the physics of like, oh, it doesn't all just come from your neck. Mm-hmm. It's so many other facets. And so I like showing it, but can be a little jarring.
Yeah, it was funny though. Like it's such a core memory to me of you like just pulling out this poster and also talking about vulnerability. Like you just mentioned it and I was going to jump in and be like, tell me more about that. Because singing is very vulnerable. And it from the outside looking in at like vocalists, if like you're not a singer, it's hard to believe how vulnerable it really is. And I didn't even believe it until you taught it to me. Because at first I was like, it's singing. It's not a big deal. And then we had a couple of lessons where I was like kind of holding back or like a little nervous about it. And I'm like, oh, you're so right. Like there's so much of you. Like you're literally just like pouring your feelings out through your mouth.
Well, it's like a higher level of communication in like such a divine way. Like mm-hmm. I'm not like a super religious person, but like I would say I'm a spiritual person.
Yeah. And
I feel like it is something that like connects you farther, that you don't even have to be singing in the same language to understand what you're saying. And it's literally the voice is like vibrations mm-hmm. and it's sending vibrations to your ears and it's like all based literally on vibes. Mm-hmm. And so it is truly this like deeply connected thing. And even when you vibrate in the slightest way, it can adjust or change your entire nervous system.
Yeah.
So it's a really powerful tool. And so I think that like being open with it and honest with it and true to yourself with it is really important, because then you're not going to vibe in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that in the most like non-basic BZ way possible.
You got to vibe, man. Good vibes, man.
Oh man. Sorry. I'm like,
you're doing great.
Just like pummeling the microphone. I'm like, I'm a professional. I'm just going to punch this a few times.
You're doing great.
I just turned instantly into Carol Channing. Like really quickly. Like, Carol Channing here. You get 2-for-1 today.
Want a hot dog real bad. I'll be Jennifer Coolidge then.
We're just going to do every impression by the end of this.
It's going to be a long but great episode.
I should forewarn the audience that I am neurodivergent to the max. I have severe ADHD and I do not hide it. I'm like, I've got ADHD and I cannot lie. And I literally couldn't hide it if I tried. So if you see me like either short circuit or like jump all around, it's just the brain working in a different way.
Yeah, I really, because like Delulu Canoe on this podcast, what we try to like stick to and what we do is like we have someone pick a topic. And then they bring it in and they just like go to town on that topic. And it's usually something that either the content creator or whoever it is, like sometimes I just have my personal friends on here because I'm like, man, come on my show and chat with me. They usually like really dive in and allow people to see them in a different light. And I don't know. Have you ever done a podcast before or anything kind of like this?
Nothing like this.
Okay.
I mean, it's funny because I just run my mouth all the time.
We and love.
I'm a pretty authentic human being because part of my neurodivergency is I'm a very, very bad liar. So, and censoring myself is actually rather difficult in a non-performative or non-acting like
when you're just being you.
When I'm just being me, it's got to just be me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, because I have also OCD. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't feel like I'm being myself, I feel like I have pressure in my body.
You physically feel it.
Yeah, I physically feel like I have pressure in my body. It's like why I have to crack my knuckles and I'm a skin picker. And like, it's because of that OCD, and it's like the real OCD. It's the real obsessive compulsive disorder, not the like tendencies. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
And so being truthful and authentic myself is basically vital for me, because
I love
then
that.
I just like I turn into a little hot tamale and I'm like
you're just like exploding apart. You're like, I have to like, be me.
Hi, I'm gonna go combust. I'm just gonna fall apart. So
but that's such a great thing to talk about, because like I send like a list to specific people and I'll like adjust and modify the list so that way I feel like I'm giving them things that they get to decide what resonates well with them. And the list I gave you, you were like, can I talk about all of them?
I'm like, you gave somebody with severe ADHD a list and I'm like, oh, ping pong game, let's go. Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
So it'll all come Pinball. Together. Like, I'll find a way for it to all segue together.
Yeah. I love that, though, because I'm terrible at segues. I really do try, but I'm like, this is not a gift
I mean,
for
to
me.
Be fair, how this started, I literally went, yeah.
Like, gonna be chihuahua.
We're gone.
We have a three-part year. We have a three-part singing thing here. We can. What is that called? A trio?
Yeah, like
yeah,
a,
we're in a trio. Like can a, we try to harmonize? A, okay, pick a note, Cosmo.
That was like a dissonant.
It was a little dissonant. Yeah, like it could totally work, especially if we like split. Because people always think that dissonance is like means immediately wrong when really it's just complex.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That had like very spooky vibes. I think it's because I picked a note that was a little under, but I'm not mad at myself.
We at least showed up. We at least tried something.
Hey, we've never sung on the Delulu Canoe. Look at us go.
Yes. We sang whole note.
One whole note. I like that.
We deserve an award.
Yes. You do.
So wait, let's back up the canoe a little bit. Oh, tell me a little bit about neurodivergency because I've heard of the term. I have dyslexia. We've talked about it a little bit here on the show. So like I get a lot of like definitions confused. Mm-hmm. So, and I understand that like disabilities are different with each person. Everybody mm-hmm. like just feels them differently and has a different like spectrum is kind of like the overall term. So what does neurodivergency look like on you and when did you clock that you had it?
So I'll be very clear that I'm like not the gatekeeper of terminology by any stretch, and I'm sure that I'm going to say things wrong, and I love nothing more than to be corrected. So please, if I do this wrong, I love accountability. So neurodivergency is the simple term is that like anything that is not neurotypical, that like we function in a society that's made for the neurotypical brain, and any type of neurological disorder that makes us stray from that is a neurodivergency. So that can be, for me, ADHD, it can be OCD, it can be autism, it can be bipolar in some cases. There's an argument about that, but I think that still qualifies. Dyslexia, dysgraphia, aphasia. There's so many things that neurologically make you have a disability.
So it's like an umbrella term in a way. So it like kind of oversees a couple of other
I like to call it rainbow brains.
Oh,
rainbow brains.
Okay.
Because I mean, if we were living in a different like world or a different time, like, you know, I would be out picking berries or doing something like that would suit my brain. But in today's society, that just doesn't really like work that well. I mean, listen, anybody who is out picking berries, I take all my money. Thank you for what you do. Because my God, that's a really hard job. Like, I can't even garden for crap. And so, my goodness. So, thank you to anyone who's doing that.
No green thumbs here. None.
I love gardening. But the point of it being that, like, we all had roles in society. Mm-hmm. I got there.
Like, yeah.
We all had roles in society and catered to what your skill sets were. Mm-hmm. And the most, like, high paid and the most, like, normal things are catered to neurotypicals. Whereas being severely ADHD as somebody who I have severe ADHD in the inattentive spectrum of it. There's different kinds of ADHD. There's the hyperactive, which most people like seem to like mock and know about.
Yeah, I feel like
It's the most common talked about mainly because there's a lot of jokes about it, but also initially ADHD was only studied on boys.
Oh.
And I was misdiagnosed as a child with mild ADD. And because I was inattentive, and because they're like, well, she's obviously like spacey, but like she's not jumping off the walls.
Yeah.
But they didn't realize that I was like the lights masking, were on, but right? Like lights were on, but nobody was home in certain times, like when I would get really stressed. Like I call it going into the void. Where I'm just like in a white room and I'm like, hello, darkness, my old friend. And I'm just gone. It's ADHD paralysis. And I didn't realize that that was happening under stress or when I was overstimulated. And that's another aspect of neurodivergency is sensory processing disorders as well.
Interesting.
I'm sure I'm missing so many things and I'm sure I've said so many things wrong. But the point of it being that it's bringing an awareness to different kinds of brains and how they function and whether it be on the spectrum or like a severe disability.
Yeah.
And although I am considered disabled with this or a person with disabilities with this, I can manage my life around it.
Yeah.
Then not all the time.
Right, right.
But it's like sometimes my brain takes a second to rev up. Like, yeah. You'll see it. Like, if you watch this back, like, I'll notice it like crazy that, like, I'm like an engine trying to start. And I'm like, come on, come on. You can do this, brain. Let's do like, this. Come on.
I offered you a Celsius, but you said no, Kathy.
Don't want that.
Jitters and trying to get it going. Sounds like a lot.
You know, I have that same problem too, like trying to like wind up the engine. Like,
yeah.
Like, just like, you ask me a question. Okay, so I'm.
Yeah, and then got it. Your brain goes into remix mode like instantly.
Exactly.
You're just like, remix. Well, because our brain is like going faster than our mouth can go.
Yeah.
And. But I get like, I'm very excited to be here and I'm like so excited to like talk and like and share something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's go. But long story short, as I keep punching this again, I'm going to keep punching.
You're doing great.
All day long.
We love you, Chompy.
neurodivergency is that blanket term for those of us with rainbow brains.
Gotcha. You got there. You did. You got there. No worries.
Awesome.
It's hard. That's time. Thanks so much for coming.
And that's the DeLulu Canoe.
Thank you so much for going down this rainbow river to beyond.
You're killing it. So would you say that you're like a little DeLulu? Like your brain just kind of like drifts into its own.
I am the quintessential DeLulu. I love it. I am literally out to lunch all the time. Like if you just see me like sitting there like. Just gone. It's gone. My mom used to say when I was little, like, I wonder what color the sky is in Carly's world.
Aww. Because you just like take it in. You just love. Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I love that though.
Look at this life.
That's good though. We're I feel alive. Like you appreciate things more then.
I do, and I feel things really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like as part of like the ADHD autism spectrum, because I'm most likely on the spectrum as well in the autism spectrum.
In the spectrum of the spectrum.
and because I have some sensory processing stuff, like, I just feel real hard. I feel real big. And sometimes it's really overwhelming to feel real things. But also, it lets me experience life in, like, a really cool way.
I feel like that's what makes you such a talented performer, like actor, voice coach, singer, because you, like, sometimes I find myself getting into, like, the machine of, like, okay, I'm going to get up and sing. Okay, here we go again, singing again. All right, we're doing the same thing. Whereas, like, if you're somebody who really appreciates every moment and every opportunity, it just adds a depth that some people just don't maybe have or just can't, like, they don't feel that deep. So I think it makes you a great performer.
Thank you. And I actually think that there's a lot more neurodivergency in the performance world, just undiagnosed, because to have that kind of access to your feelings and to your brain, and we've called it craft, and yes, it is a craft. Like, my gosh, we work really hard on these things. But there is that natural ability to tap into those kind of things on that deeper level that I think makes us gifted. Mm-hmm. In that way. And like the way we experience things is so much more elevated, I think, sometimes. Like, if you can really like use it and utilize it to your advantage, especially in your art, it just, I don't know, it makes it a greater experience.
I think it makes it more like relatable, because some people would love to just outwardly like cry or be angry or have some sort of emotion other than just being happy all the time.
I mean, gosh, I wish people could just be happy all the time. It's more that people are just content. Mm-hmm. Or they try to project contentness.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because, like, don't even get me started on, like, the denial of pleasure. But, like, don't even get – we'll get there.
Yeah.
But, like, feeling things that was so frowned upon for such a long time, but people depended on artists to provoke it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it was always acceptable if it was part of an art form.
Yeah.
Like, God, so much is accepted if it's part of an art form.
Yeah. Which I think is great, though, that we're there finally. Like, I'm really into my Miley Cyrus era right now. Mm-hmm. Not only just because she won a Grammy, but, like, I've always been, like, an advocate for her. But she recently did, like, what was it? It was like Wrecking Ball. She had like a huge opening of like, she was going through this hard time with her husband or at the time fiance. And then recently she just won for Flowers. Mm-hmm. But back then Wrecking Ball was like mocked, you know, like people didn't like the song. They didn't like the visuals of it when I feel like that would be celebrated today.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the journey that women have to go through in any kind of art form is mm-hmm. kind of shocking. God, look at Britney Spears, look at all the, yeah. the stars. Like, but like Miley Cyrus is an incredible, I want to say, case study, as you watched her in the like mouse ears, mm-hmm. young, like, you know, this, that. And then she's trying to break out of that. She had this really cool song, Can't Be Tamed.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. it's, and God, they just like tore her apart for it. I also will never forget, because she did Party in the USA and she did one live performance of it where she's on like a rolling thing and she did one little provocative move.
Yeah.
And everyone lost their friggin' minds over it. There's like, she shouldn't be doing that. What about the children? The children! Children were screaming. You know,
that movie. I see where that's coming from people, because she was like a child star. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. she had her show, Hannah Montana, and also like that. But like, it's the same goes for like Christina Aguilera. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like wholesome and all this like that. And she did. Oh, I don't know what song dirty. She did, but Dirt. Oh,
God, that was hot.
It was hot. But it's like, you know, that's...
Spicely.
I mean, that's the thing is, we can't be too young, or like, they want us to like be innocent. Mm-hmm. And then there's no room for a transition into womanhood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not a girl, yeah. not yet a woman.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm just giving my full Britney. But it's like, Britney, bitch. There's literally... no room for error. And right. I think Miley is kind of the perfect case study for that, that like she really did like ease into it and then finally was like, you know what, screw it. I am gonna like, I'm gonna go balls to the wall and like
push through,
wear like a fuzzy outfit on the VMAs and like, you know, lick my like things that yeah. are like, crazy. And guess what? But that was like the smartest business move possible. Like
yeah.
it set her apart. And I mean, I find her to be an intriguing and fabulous artist.
Like, same.
Like, I just think that she's an incredible businesswoman, but also just an amazing artist. Like, mm-hmm. and I wish that there was more space for women in the industry to evolve and yeah. to just embrace themselves however they feel like it.
Yeah. I think she's walking right now for that to be in the future and those mm-hmm. artists to be able to run, so to speak.
Yes.
You mentioned the mouse with Miley, mm-hmm. and I know that you worked for the mouse.
I did work Keyword. For the mouse.
Oh. Yeah, so I worked in World, mm-hmm. and mine, this was like a while ago, so I haven't worked there recently. I don't work there now. There's some people that still think I do work there, and the right, like, how could you post such a heinous thing while working for the mouse? It's like, I haven't worked there for
watch
years.
Watch me.
You're like, oh yeah?
I am... Oh, man. Yes, I did work for the mouse at the land.
Okay, yes.
I did, I mean, can I say? I mean, I think I can.
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
well, I did Frozen Live at the Hyperion in California Adventure. And
which was an incredible show. I watched it on YouTube many times.
Gorgeous. It was a beautiful show. And I was in both the ensemble mm-hmm. and also I played Elsa.
Which is so cool.
Which was really cool. I was the shortest Elsa. Literally, I was like the hashtag Nugget Elsa.
Oh,
I was just a little fleep out there. I'm like, well, you want me to do what? I had a very unique experience working for that show because I had some of those incredible moments and mm-hmm. some really, really rough ones. And I leave really grateful with yeah. that experience. But part of the reason I became a voice teacher was to heal the trauma from that show and yeah. from that role and from that song.
What song? Snong.
What snong?
Snong. What song?
Because,
just kidding.
A little teeny tidbit about me is I yeah. came from a classical opera background mm-hmm. and that was my kind of forte. Which was why I was hired in the ensemble in the first place, because they needed the high note at the end, which is like story of my life. But they saw something else in me, mm-hmm. and I could act the part. I looked enough like her, although fweep, like it would work. And I decided in my callback that I would sing it the way I would sing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, for like the, you know, voice speech, it was a very more mixed version. It was a little more like legit.
Okay.
A little bit more. It wasn't crazy, but it was a hair more on the legit side because I knew I could redo that many shows because the show ran 3-4 times a day.
You kept your vocal health in mind.
Correct. But I was not empowered enough then that once I got the job and I got to rehearsal and I sang like that, and then the franchise people get their hands on it and they go, you know, you can't sing it like that, right? And they go, come on, what? So what do you mean I can't sing like that? Like, that's how I sing it. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, it needs to sound like her.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, like, I couldn't process that because I was just not found in my own instrument yet. And I then questioned myself. I questioned my ability. So every time I went out to sing this song, I was having panic attacks.
You weren't empowered.
Yeah, I would literally hear the piano, and I would start to have a panic attack. I had to keep it in. Like, I was also allergic to the snow on the stage. I was made out of soap, and I would break out in hives. It was great. So there's not one recording of me doing it that I actually like.
There's not one. Heartbreaking.
And I mean, and the internet ripped me apart because blame them because it wasn't great. It was not my. It wasn't great vocal work on my end because I was out there just like winging it.
You're just trying to get through. Because
I wasn't in my body. I couldn't hear. I couldn't understand. I was just like, this is not. And something just wasn't clicking. And why I wanted to start teaching was because I was realizing that nobody was teaching it to me for my brain and how I receive information.
Right.
I was getting told amazing things, amazing information. But like, as like, one, a neurodivergent, and two, a gymnast, I couldn't figure out the muscular work to make that sound happen that they wanted.
Okay, yeah.
And they would just throw things at me, and they would come over to me with this iPad circling notes that were wrong.
Oh.
And like, I would see just the amount of red circles on this iPad. There I go again.
Ouch.
Like literally ripping apart my
performance
after every show. Like for 5 years.
Wow.
And so I ended up, after having my son, I'm a mom, I tried to go back to it, and I was doing better with it just because I had like something a little more important to think about.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, the same thing started happening. I started losing myself in it again, and I started panicking, and I literally left thinking I couldn't sing anymore. Oh, I ended up quitting the show because I couldn't do it anymore. I was just out there like panicking, crying, just so tired of being like everyone's sixth favorite Elsa that went up on that stage. Because they're like, she acts good, and there's parts of it that she sings really well, but Let It Go sucks.
Oh, no.
And it was just mortifying. Yeah. And like, I could hear people like in my cast talking about how bad it
sounded. Oh,
like, no. It was quite an experience. I'm like, sorry to go down this tangent rabbit hole. But, and it's also like, I don't blame anybody else because I just did not empower myself to just sing it the way I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
When the girls that were the most successful at it just did it their way.
Really? They didn't take the notes that they were given?
Yeah. I mean, and some did. Some did, and some just had it naturally.
Yeah.
Like, some just got, like.
Some people just don't even got to work for it.
No.
Yeah.
Like, the Donna Loudon, who originated that particular track, like.
In her sleep.
Cuckoo Banana Pants. Just like, like where, like, Mariah Carey just, like. It exudes out of her soul. And I would just like listen to her saying, just be like, how?
Yeah.
How? And now I know, now that I've figured out like and teach it now, but like that was the catalyst, was like, if I can teach my brain how to do this, I think there's more people out there like me.
Yeah.
That need this kind of teaching.
Oh, 100%.
So
I feel like that's why we clicked so much, aside from both having the mouse issues while we worked there. But also, like, you were able to understand that you give me a note, but you knew how to, like, okay, she didn't understand what I was asking for. Mm-hmm. Let me try a different way. Like, the fact that you take the time to do that with your students is very unique, I would say. Like, I also had, like, classical opera training, like, way, way back in high school, because my coach back then wanted me to be an opera singer. But I could never understand what she was asking of me, because she would use such linguistic, musical, mm-hmm. proper terminology. And I never studied how to read music or how to, like, what's the proper language. Like, I know some things, like staccato and legato, but, like, I don't speak it fluently.
Right. And I think that was one of the things I wanted to adjust while I teach, is that, like, I want to speak your language. Mm-hmm. I want to, like, because then there's no point in trying to, like, fix your technique if you don't understand what the hell I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, there's a lot of shame that goes into that, of not understanding it, because I remember being so embarrassed that I didn't understand the concept of mixing or mixed voice very well back then. And I was such a proficient singer, like, to be a classical soprano and not quite understand it, because I was doing it. I physically knew how to mix. I just didn't know that's what I was doing, because my brain didn't compute it in the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get it. And now that I've, like, unshamed myself from it, and I was just like, okay, wait, girl, like, how do you learn these things? Like, and I started with, like, almost impressions too, like,
oh, okay.
Physically morphing and trying to make my voice sound like a person. So I'm like, okay, physically, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And, like, we talk about this, that, like, Celine Dion, one of my all time favorites, one of the best singers, arguably, of our generation time.
Easily.
Yeah. She comes from French Canada. Mm-hmm.
Canada land.
But her French placement has her singing be just in the right place to be a really strong mixed belter. Mm-hmm. Because that's naturally where she speaks from. Mm-hmm. And so, like, understanding where people come from and your bone structure and all these things, like, you have to work around those things, but also, like, realize that people's upbringings and backgrounds change how they sing and change how they approach it. That was the longest way to say, yeah, I worked for the mouse.
No, that was a great answer. That was incredible.
Here she goes again.
Nah, you're killing it. So that was, like, one of the, also another pinnacle moment for me when we first met, was that, like, you had done, like, I creeped on your Instagram, that you had portrayed Elsa in their singing show. And then I, at Walt Disney World, was friends with Anna. I never sang for her, but it was kind of cool that, like, you were going to be my teacher, kind of like how Elsa taught Anna in the movie. So I know a lot of people hate that movie. I absolutely love it, because it gave me the best job in the world. So
I think people just love to hate it.
Oh, unpopular things? Yes, always.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that, like, because it got really, like, blown up and really overdone. Because I actually did Hair at the Hollywood Bowl with Kristen Bell.
That's right. Frozen. Yes.
And I'll never forget, she said, she was like, we had no idea how much this movie was going to blow up. Like, we just had no idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, she's lovely. Just an absolute lovely human being. Like, the nicest, super talented, that clear butter voice right there in front of you.
She's so adorable.
She's lovely. But yeah, she was like, I had no idea, like, that was going to be this huge thing. Like, nobody did. Aww. So people just love to hate things that are popular.
I also love how humble they are about it, too. Like, it's just, that's how you know it's almost, like, an even better story, because they didn't know, and they created something because they loved it, instead of, like, we want to win awards and we want to be big. So I think that's what drew so many kids to it, is the love for the story and the silly snowman and the reindeer Sven. He's so great. I know we're getting close on time, but I really, your big DeLulu was pleasure, was kind of the big one that you wanted to talk about. So let's take some time and talk about
pleasure. Yeah, well, because that was one of the things that we also realized that we both had in common.
Pleasure.
And one of my big DeLulu things, coming from that kind of world where, like, sexuality and pleasure are just so frowned upon, that I continually ask the question, why? Why do we still today consider pleasure to be such a taboo thing, when it's literally something that was given to us in our natural bodies to enjoy? And that will be the hill I die on.
So, yeah, like, that's great.
Because, like, even singing for pleasure, like, not even just sexual pleasure, just, like, pleasure in general, is still frowned upon.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just throwing the sins out the window. I'm just over it because done with the sin. Bye. Toodaloo. I just don't care because if you're not hurting somebody else,
you're doing it for you.
You're doing it for you. I feel like it's another one of those vibrational things that gets you closer to divine, like because it connects you like all over. That there's like cultures like ancient, I think it's like ancient Greece and ancient Hinduism that literally sees sexual pleasure as a connection to like the holy.
Wow.
Divine because of how it makes you feel. And so, like, I feel like we've gotten far, like, whatever your belief system is, I feel like we've gotten farther from God by avoiding pleasure.
Yeah. I agree in a sense.
I'm like, you're like, I'll give you a shimmy for that one.
I also, it's very interesting that you bring up doing things for pleasure, even if it's not sexual, because I remember there was one time I was singing at a karaoke bar and somebody kind of tagged it as me showing off was what they had said. And it was interesting to talk to them because they themselves were an incredible singer. And I remember like sitting up at the bar, like getting my next drink. And they were just like, oh yeah, like here you are showing off again, blah, blah. And I was like, so hang on, you're a singer too. And you're very good as well. Do you do it because you like to show off? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I sing for very different reasons. I enjoy singing because I feel like it's a means of expression and therapeutically like sharing your feelings. Like what song I go up and sing has a lot to do with my mood in that day. Mm-hmm. And I love feeling like I can connect with people on that level, not for showing off purposes, but because I'm an artist.
But also,
anybody in a creative field is.
I even want to challenge the phrase showing off.
Yeah.
That like, if you've worked for something or if something makes you feel good, like show it off. Who cares? Like this idea that we're not allowed to be proud, again, is a form of like withholding pleasure.
Form of pleasure. Yeah.
Like it's that same thing. Like, well, like, oh, you just want to show off. Damn straight I do. Like, especially if it's something you've worked really hard for. Like I've been training my voice for a long freaking time. Like, yeah, I want to show how hard I've worked so that my family doesn't think I completely blew all their money in college. No, but for real though, that's another form of like denying pleasure. And I mean, the sexual pleasure thing just makes me cuckoo because who are we kidding? We love it.
Everybody loves attention. Everybody loves getting some.
Well, and it's just like if it's on your body, like we were given a literal on button.
Yeah.
Or for, you know, the fellas.
PG purposes.
Or fellas, you know, you were given a little, you know, on stick, if you will. Like, and if God made us,
that's
it. Like, I mean, no. And no shade, no tea to people's religious, like, practices. You do you.
Mm-hmm.
I fully support that. Like, please, by all means, do you. But let me do me.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. Respectfully. But, like, there's also, like, I was watching, like, some Instagram rabbit hole that I was down.
Oh, like, do tell.
Because, like, I like watching, like, doulas and things like that because I didn't love my birth experience. So, like, I feel like I'm living vicariously through other people's better birth experience.
Okay, yeah.
And somebody recommended that you touch yourself during a contraction. Because it helps relax your contractions.
Oh.
And I didn't even consider that as a concept.
Huh.
That I'm like, I had an epidural and was completely numb from here down for most of it. And I could have been beetle-deedling my way through and feeling a lot better about it. Like, why not? That we just got explicit. Sorry.
No, it's great. This is fine.
Explicit. I'm using, like, all my, like,
child terms. It's right. It's amazing. You're killing it.
But, that, like, the fact that, like, we just continually deny our own science and our own bodies, for what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, like I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me, and that will literally be the hill I die on. And especially as a mom, and I'm gonna be turning 36 this year.
Ooh.
I shout my age because aging is a friggin' luxury, and I'll share it forever. And part of the reason that I really jumped into what I will say the sex industry or any of like that kind of industry is, and I am novice if like very much so. I'm new. I'm coming in. But like
she has an OnlyFans.
She does. She does. Mommy's got it. Like mommy milkers.
I hated that. I can't believe it was.
But I did it not because I needed money, not because of anything other than I needed to reclaim myself. I needed to reclaim a part of my own body and my own identity. And this idea that like after you have a kid and you're in your mid to late 30s, that you're just like over the hill, you're done for unless you get like all this surgery or you're killing yourself at the gym or you're doing this. Like, and all those things are amazing choices if that's your choice.
Yeah.
But like, can't I just be hot as I am?
Yeah.
Because I know there's people who think so. Like, it can't be, I mean, it might. Like, yeah. I'm like, tell me I'm beautiful, Cosmo.
No, she looks behind
the mic. Absolutely drop dead gorgeous.
Aww.
But like, it's.
I'll be over here. Just let me know when you. Let me know when you need me.
You're next. But it's the idea that like, it was for me.
Yeah.
More than anything, it still continues to be for me. Like, and I have ups and down moments. And I mean, I don't mind making a little extra cash from it. Like, who's going to say no? I got a baby to feed. He's 5. And it's not like I'm showing my child what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, that's the other thing. It's that we think we can't compartmentalize these parts of our life. Like, also, I was naked on stage at the Hollywood Bowl in front of many thousands of people, and I was applauded for it.
Yeah.
Now that it's my choice, everyone's like,
boo, yeah.
Everyone's making judgment. Now I'm a slut. Like, get real.
People are crazy.
People are crazy.
People are
crazy. They're crazy.
Yeah.
See, I literally could just go for hours. Keep it coming.
Yeah, that was, like, another thing that you and I had in common was just, like, I was even shy to tell you that I had one. I know,
the tap dance that was, you're like, and also I do take pictures, and I, and, well, I, so I do
noodles,
and I'm like, girl, I have an OnlyFans. She's like, oh, thank God.
I was like, great, okay, we can actually have a lesson now, awesome.
Also,
there is a lot of judgment with it.
And I'm sorry, Grandma.
Your grandma, is she subscribed to the Delulu Canoe podcast?
But like, because I'm not gonna be shy, I'm tired of hiding these things in my life. Like, I want it to be people's choice whether they subscribe to my, I have an alternate Instagram account and I also have the OnlyFans, and I want it to be other people's choice
for sure,
because that's the thing about sexual positivity is like, it's your choice, and that can also mean abstinence, that can also mean that you are asexual, it can mean whatever you need it to be, as long as you are letting it exist as it needs to be.
Yeah.
And so like, it's their choice, but I'm so tired of pretending like I'm ashamed of it, because I'm just not.
I love that, though. I can't wait to have a slice of that. Like, I'm ready to move into that phase of, like, not being so ashamed for it, because I feel like I still personally have judgment on it. But
really?
That's why, yeah. I mean, that's, like, a big reason why also we work together and we work so well, is that, like, you teach me things, and that's the Elsa to the Anna, you know, where you're like, hey, look where I'm at. And like, I don't care. And look at everybody around me that also doesn't care. And they celebrate me. And I can't wait to get to that.
I think you will sooner than you think, because life is just way too friggin' short.
And terribly, terribly long.
And terribly, terribly long to just like constantly be shaming yourself for your decisions. Because like, we are all like making choices for whatever pleasure, whatever vice, whatever thing. And anybody who says they're not is full of crap. Like,
right.
And to even say that like pleasure is a vice, I still like, I shake my head at it, because I'm like, no, I feel like pleasure is absolutely our right.
Yeah.
Like, and the more we embrace it and the more we just like stop deciding that like,
it's wrong.
It's bad or it's wrong. Like, I'm all for age appropriate things. I'm all for like certain like things.
Yeah.
But, like even on, like, certain social media platforms, like, you cannot run an advertisement, because if it promotes sexual pleasure, you can't run an advertisement. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, listen, I'm not for people, like, posting their XXX, like, links on live streams and things like that.
Right.
That's not consent. Mm-hmm. I'm all about consent. But I think that, like, Meta and Instagram are being straight up lazy when it comes to sponsorship things, because I'm like, you can program a boot that I talked about last week to show up on my feed, but you can't make sure the right, like, advertisement goes to the right group of people. You put the, like, the age limits on there, and if somebody says, oh, I like OnlyFans, or I follow this type of, like, people, like, yeah, show them my titties. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, or whatever the thing is. Like, I just think that, like, people are paying for it already. Let's stop pretending.
Yeah, let's stop pretending like it's not. Right.
And, like, also, let's stop the virtue thing where we pretend that, like, people are like, oh, that's bad. But I don't watch it.
Sinner. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but those Pornhub counts are not all just, like.
It's not just five people.
Yeah, it's not just these five nasty people that you knew. Like, no, it's. It's your Republican councilman.
Whoa!
Like, yeah. Tell me I'm wrong. No shade on whatever, but, like, I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm. like, don't, like, let's not pretend. Like,
let's make it normal. Let's be normal people. Everybody watches something. Everybody enjoys pleasure in different ways, different facets. Let's stop, like, dehumanizing people and allowing, like, them to like something that they like.
You know, there's fetish for everything, and there's an enjoyment and pleasure for everything. People, there's so many, like, there's people out there that loves to watch other people eat food and consume food.
Yeah.
Or the ASMR stuff like that. So it's like,
I watch people do, like, Reiki. I never say it right.
Reiki
healing, like, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it gives me, like, the neck tingles and it makes me feel all good. And I'm like, how is this different?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. It's like smoking a cigarette or, like, going to the bar or having your favorite
food. If you're not hurting somebody else, why does it matter?
Mm. Right.
And if you're worried about the kids, like, they're not showing that at school.
It's
they're
the mindset.
Supposed to be on there anyways.
Well, yeah. And so it's like okay, so then you're not watching your kid.
Right.
Cool.
iPad babies.
Listen, no tea, no shade. My kid has an iPad, and that thing is a saving grace when you use poor. Because we can't always afford a babysitter all the time.
No. That's,
not
that's
saying
hard.
That the iPad is a replacement.
Right, right.
No. Let's just say, let's just be real here. Like, not all of us can do the no screens. We just went through a pandemic.
Yeah.
There ain't no way.
So, Cosmo, I usually like to ask you a question at the, like, towards the end of each episode, especially since we have a guest today who,
like, who has really run her mouth.
Not at all.
You've been amazing. Four different times.
Oh my gosh. Don't worry. I'm already canceled and it's my show. So
great.
You can't beat me.
We're the cancel canoe right here. We're
canceled
all
canoe.
All freaking canceled here.
Canceled canoe.
Canceled the Lulu.
It's being towed.
On the back of the palm town. Did you have any, like, vocal questions for Carly or anything that you are kind of like, man, I wanted to know a little bit more about this? We'll let you be the final question.
You know, I've only been on OnlyFans to start an account, never done anything with it.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I'm browsing, I'm like, yeah, this is like Instagram, but better for adults.
Yeah, it's like Instagram,
but better. But I was just like, I'm not going to peek entrance. And I saw somebody that I knew. I'm like, nope, I'm being respectful. So I went back to my home page. But question about vocals. I just blew out my voice the other night. And what is a good warm up? Everyone does tea, they do, like, lozenges and stuff like that. If I'm going, the one thing I know I have to consider is, like, it's a bar. Sometimes we have a fog machine blowing right next to it, and people are drinking, and the weather's cold. Sometimes it's cold. So I know everything affects the conditions of
your cords.
Of your cords. So how the hell do I stop doing that? Like, bro, we're bringing out my voice. Like, it was just a song that I should have been able to hit. A note, because it wasn't screaming. It was Killswitch Engage, and it was like all the deep parts. I got it, but just that one, like, you know, like, we talk it out.
Right.
And I was just like, I'm like, no.
Well,
but I was comfortable with the mess up. Like, every time I mess up, I own it. I'm like,
yeah, I mean,
that happened.
What are you gonna do? Like,
exactly.
Why not? I mean, one, I think warming up is wildly important. I know it's like a cliche thing to say, but like, but warming up in a way that's actually helpful, because what warming up really is getting your larynx lifted, like, because gravity pulls our larynx down. That's why when you wake up, you're like, hi, I'm and you sound like
really
great
right now.
In the morning. You're like, oh, this is hot. But as you wake up and things start to shift upward, like speaking and singing and doing things in such a way that help move you towards like a better lifted larynx.
Mm-hmm.
Like doing lip trills, doing things this to get you like that moving and slowly lifting. It's sort of like when you have to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going to roll out of bed and go do a tumbling pass. Like, no, mm-hmm. you're going to roll out of bed and stretch.
Unless your house is on fire.
Yeah, well, then yeah, clearly like different.
Yeah.
Get out of the
and
fire.
Also like being mindful of these environments that you're in mm-hmm. that higher pitches can be heard over a crowd. Mm-hmm. So if you are having to speak over people, speak in a higher pitch than you're normally more accustomed to, and utilizing your nasal passage
mm-hmm.
is one of the most valuable things. And what that means is like not just talking like in the throat, or it's like feeling the vibration in your face a little bit, like speaking. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like speak like this, but like having it live a little bit more in your face mm-hmm. because this is actually where like the tone is produced from. This controls like pitch, like notes,
uh-huh.
but this controls like the ease in which we achieve those notes. And because it's like a cave. Like if you look at a flute, like mm-hmm. the sound doesn't come from blowing.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from like you blow into the flute and then it goes through the tubi and you play. And so all our throat is our the blow part.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The sound is from like coming through your face and through these cavities and these caverns in your body, like in your face, like creating an echo chamber. And so in order to
make sense,
do it a little bit more healthily is to take the weight out of your neck, is not push on it, is find those sweet spots in your voice. And this is like the abbreviated version of this. It's like finding those sweet spots where you can do it without tension.
Okay.
Because ultimately, it's to produce sound and phonate without tension and sing freely so you can communicate from your soul, because it's all connected, and do it in a way that is authentic to you, and but also healthfully. Because the minute that you feel that like push, that like,
yeah,
like then you're using way too much muscle.
Wow.
And you're not allowing the balance to happen, because all phonation is your vocal cords vibrating together and airflow. So you're either using too much air or not enough air, or too much neck and too much throat or not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's finding the balance, just like a whistle. Like if you blow too hard, nothing's going to come out. Blow too soft, nothing comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do just right, this really loud piercing sound comes out. It's not about the push. It's at the right placement.
Wow.
Hmm.
Okay.
That was the longest way I could do. It's like, that's the shortest I could do that.
But it's a lot, though. It's a lot of different parts working together.
But that makes a lot of sense with the fact that it's like, this is the wind instrument, but it has like a resonated chamber inside here, and it comes out, and you push out, and the vibration.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like a guitar, acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even thinking about if you're using a microphone, like, a microphone can only handle so many decibels.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to a recording artist that you love and you hear them wailing, they can't be that loud.
No, that's true. The microphone that we use is really, we have like a fancy, beautiful freaking mic, and we have to ask permission to use it because it's a fancy, expensive mic.
Right.
But like I normally do like a Frank Sinatra or Elvis with that mic, because I don't have to do anything with that mic.
Right.
I just sit there and like, fly me. And it just does all the work for me. But when the crowd is very loud and you can't really hear like the music, or, you know, people just over talking, which is so annoying, but it's the bar. What do you expect?
Yeah. It's speaking in just a little bit higher of a timbre than you are used to will help with that in a non-stressed way.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to feel a little like whiny for you, but it like elevating above it.
Because
most people speak about like 4 to 5 pitches below where their natural speaking voice should sit. Just because of cultural, like in society. And so we're supposed to be a little bit higher.
Really?
And so it's like learning to like speak in a place that feels good and also to be heard, because higher pitches can be heard.
Especially in crowd murmurs.
Yeah.
Because if they're like kind of talking like this, all you have to do is bring it up a little bit and you can talk like this. And I'm not pushing a lot and it doesn't sound like I'm yelling at you, but you can see that my eyebrows are raised.
Yeah.
And it will definitely save my voice later.
Yeah.
I remember seeing one of your other clients do that, because I've heard this other individual like talk before to me, but then all of a sudden I would go and hear him sing or at karaokeing above everybody, I could hear him make that choice to talk higher above, and I'm like, I see you doing that thing.
Because mm-hmm. he would, because this person would lose his voice because of the speaking, not because yeah. of the singing.
That's and true. When you're at, when I'm waiting for a song after the first song, going to the second one, if I'm trying to talk to somebody, I'm like, so the other night I was blah, 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 blah. I'm like doing that while I'm trying to talk to the person right next to them because it's yeah. so damn loud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's finding that sweet spot. And it's like kind of hard to do like right here, right now. But mm-hmm. Like right now, like I'm talking probably a little bit lower than I'm accustomed to. But if mm-hmm. like I really wanted to get somebody's attention, like I would place it and ping it like right in this part of my nose where I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, and it takes no effort on my part, but like you can hear that travel. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why babies, like, when they're crying, they mix better than anybody. You can hear that, and they will do it for yeah. hours. Like, and it's, like, crazy loud. And I'm like, wait, that's great technique.
The baby's got it.
Baby's got it.
They got a fresh throat, though. Yeah, so, no whiskey, again, no cigarettes, no carbonations in it. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, so, but right now, while you've already got probably a little bit of, like, inflammation because you were, like, yelling on it yeah. like over and over and over again because you were trying to compensate mm-hmm. like rest will always be the best key, like if you can yeah. try and rest mm-hmm. as much as you can and drink a ton of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hydrate.
Hell, hydrate.
Yeah, well, I feel like we hit all the DeLulus. Like, if I look at it, I think we basically hit everything that we wrote down. No, well, probably actually, but that's not bad. We're allowed to go a little long.
We're allowed to go long.
Yeah. Like, they like the long episodes, so don't worry about it. Good. No sweat. They love it. I always just try to aim for 30 because, like, I don't know. I always aim low and then end up getting a higher score. So, you know, that's how you do it. Low expectations. Low or not. We love that
here. Lower expectations.
Yas. But thank you all so much for joining us in on this conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved doing this.
I loved having you here. We'll definitely have to have you back.
Oh, just...
I'll make you a new list.
Yeah, please. Bing, bing,
bing, bing, bing. It's great, though. You killed it, honestly.
Yes.
You feel good about it. You're amazing. And all the, like, the examples you gave us, like, mm-hmm. crystal clear, you killed it.
Yes. Yep.
This is, like, a free voice lesson for everybody out there. So, if you got something from this, you should definitely check out Carly's OnlyFans. Do you have the name of it, or do I just need to go? What is it?
C-Lit.
Okay. I love it.
Nice.
C-LITT.
Well, go check out C-Lit. Oh my gosh, I love that. That's great.
Because my married last name is Little.
Oh,
so Carly Little.
Nice.
Okay, that's kind of cute. I thought you were just trying to say like lit, but that's way cuter.
No.
So explicit. Keep it out.
I was trying to keep it PG.
You did great. You're doing great.
Well, that's at the end of it.
Yeah. We're trying to land. We're trying to dock the canoe.
Oh, damn.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Yes. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and follow. Check out Carly. Give her a follow on Instagram. Be sure to check out C-Lit on OnlyFans, Only Flapjacks. Give her some love. Check out the Cosmo Show episodes. What day every week?
Every other Thursday.
Every other Thursday.
Yeah.
Be sure to check it out. Subscribe over there. Tell him in the comment section that you found him from the DeLulu Canoe. I would absolutely love and adore it. Listen to us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And stay DeLulu, and let's hope all your dreams come true, Lulu. That's the outro I'm going with for now. We'll come up with a better one.
I like it.
Bye. Oh, and check out our Patreon, because I'm hoping by now we have a Patreon. Ooh.